Welcome to Association Nation. From digital content to social strategy, print power to video value, engagement to conversion, we cover the content marketing topics that matter most for your members. I'm your host, Jamie Painter, and today we're talking about how to raise your member voices. How much of your daily conversation centers around your members? The answer might seem like a no-brainer. We're talking about member organizations, after all. Professional associations wouldn't exist without the people who make up those professions. And even trade associations, whose members might be businesses rather than individuals, are trying to reach the people within those businesses. Yet in our own work, we often find that associations still tend to concentrate our communications on us, the organization, rather than you, the member. It's we did this, or we want you to know this, rather than you did this, or here's what our work means for you. If that sounds familiar, think about this. One of the easiest ways to focus on your audience is to start using their voices. Your members are a rich resource. They can be sources for your stories. They can be authors of your content with a little help from your professional editors. And they can give advice from peer to peer with the right forum provided by you. Member voices add credibility and expertise. They add authority and authenticity. Bottom line, they keep you real. For some perspective on making the most of member voices, we have the perfect guest today. Molly Polin is Senior Director of Communications and PR for AACC, an association that serves a highly technical audience of clinical chemists. She and her team have found clever ways to get that audience involved as sources, advisors, storytellers, and even content creators. Thanks for joining us today, Molly. All good storytelling really starts with the audience. So let's start by talking about AACC's members. I assume that we're dealing with a high level of technical expertise here.
Sure, yeah. I mean, our AACC members are scientists. So essentially what they are the laboratorians working in clinical labs, meaning the labs at hospitals, labs at university research hospitals, and also reference laboratories such as Quest or LabCorp. You know, a lot of people have the experience where you go into your physician's office and you're given a range of tests that the physician prescribes. And then what you don't see as a patient is that a lot of times, because physicians are very busy, they have a lot of other things that they are responsible for knowing, they may not understand the nuances of the results of your lab test. And so our members are really that key person that the physician will call and say, okay, well, you know, I got this, it's in this reference, does this make sense? What does this mean? And so they're really interpreting the test so that patients are getting the right diagnosis so they get the care that they need.
Okay, so obviously we're dealing with a very sophisticated scientific background. So in your experience from a content consumption perspective, do you feel that they are kind of a skeptical group when it comes to content?
Well, I mean, all scientists are skeptics, right? So sure, I would say so. I mean, I think our members are really what they always talk about being evidence-based. So everything that they do from, you know, the work that they do, because they're very, very concerned, you know, in terms of their jobs and making sure patients get quality care. So everything they do is evidence-based. And so we try to kind of adopt that perspective as well with what we do at the association. So we try to make sure that everything that we present to the members is evidence-based as well, because we know that that's kind of how their minds work, that that's what they respond really well to.
Sure. And how do you infuse that into, I mean, I think from like a journal perspective, you know, from a scientific journal perspective, that may be easier. But when it comes to storytelling, how do you infuse that into your storytelling efforts in specific?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, for example, we have a magazine called Clinical Laboratory News. It's been around for more than 40 years. And we've built this sort of reputation of, even we're doing a feature article, you're telling a story. Oftentimes it's kind of based on a case study, things like that, but you always start with the evidence. So for example, you say a 25-year-old woman came in and presented with these symptoms. Here are the steps that we took. So you're showing the personal side of the story, but also you're starting with all of the facts and the evidence.
And within your membership, I'm sure you have a lot of access to people who have expertise in the different areas that you're exploring when you're coming out with new content. Do you tap these resources when you're developing content? And do you think that your audience finds that content more credible when it's coming from a peer?
Of course. I mean, I think peer-to-peer is considered, especially within the scientific community, to be the most valuable. So once again, with Clinical Laboratory News, our magazine, we have a couple of different ways that we do that. One is we have a section called Mini Review, which is every month in the magazine, we have an invited article from an expert in the field that's talking about a specific clinical concern that affects a lot of folks in the laboratory field. And our field is so broad that, you know, that really gives us, you know, free rein to do a lot of really interesting things. Additionally, again, when we're writing our feature stories, we reach out to, you know, folks to be interviewed who are experts in whatever the topic is that we're discussing. We also have a Meet the Experts section at the end of every issue of Clinical Laboratory News where we interview someone. So we do that, but we actually use our experts in other ways as well. So getting back to peer-to-peer networking, we have an online member community that is named The Artery. That, speaking of, you know, credibility within our membership, we actually had members, we had a contest to name it, and they love the idea of The Artery because, you know, it's pumping information. So it's like pumping blood.
I like it.
So that's like a cute, nerdy scientist joke. And they love it. And so that's one thing that it's been a huge success for us as an organization because we have set pretty strict parameters around it so that only members talk to members. There's no association business happening within that platform. So people are all constantly saying, I had this problem in my lab. Has anyone else seen it? You get all these responses about an issue, and it really is helping our members kind of deal with day-to-day issues. We've actually even found that information that we're getting is so rich of the members talking to each other about the issues that they're facing that we have now this year scientific sessions at our annual meeting that are coming out of those conversations. We're having some papers that have been written for our journals that the kernel of that, you know, of the idea for the paper came out of those conversations, those peer-to-peer conversations. So it's been really exciting.
When you're bringing in all of these different voices, someone from a branding or a marketing department might cringe and say, you know, how can we hold on to what our key messages are? How can we kind of control the conversation or make sure that members are representing our voice as an organization? So when you have members speaking on camera or members kind of speaking on behalf of the organization, how do you as AACC ensure that they are hitting the right high points and, you know, talking in the right tone?
We have media training that we hold every year for selected kind of folks, board members, or other folks who we would ask to speak for us. And when we do that media training, it's an all-day media training. It's relatively small, usually about 5 people every year, and it's pretty intensive. And so we do go very carefully through what are our talking points overall as an organization. We kind of talk about how you can weave those. We talk about bridging. We talk about how you can weave those talking points into every conversation that you have about a specific topic. And we're pretty strict about who we have speaking on behalf of the organization. Our most important message, really, and one of our strategic goals for the organization is to raise the profile of laboratory medicine. So having these folks go out and speak on behalf of AACC has been a focus for us and has been something that we've been pretty successful at.
So I think you all do a really great job at balancing this real in the trenches member storytelling and peer-to-peer sharing, as well as some of the more official speaking on behalf of the organization type of content. But when it comes to member storytelling for specific, you've talked about The Artery as a peer-to-peer example, but tell us a little bit about Labra Stories. First of all, you have very creative naming over there at AACC, I can tell. But how did Labra Stories come about and how have people responded to that effort in specific?
So I'm very excited about what I call Labora Stories.
Thank you.
Because I like the more British pronunciation of it.
You're more sophisticated than we are in Chicago.
Actually, the idea for Labora Stories really came out of last year's media training. What's interesting about the media training, I find, is that we're, you know, when you're in there in the room with these very high-level scientists, you know, when you're talking about media training, and we put them in front of the camera, we put them in very uncomfortable situations, we ask them hard questions, we make them respond, and it really gets them thinking a little bit differently than they do in their day-to-day life. So I mentioned that we're, you know, our members are very evidence-based, that's really important to them, and they tend to come across any problem, like I said, as a case study, which is valuable, but you can lose the emotional impact of the story. And so what's always interesting about the media training is that when you're putting people in this different kinds of situation, having to think, use a different part of their brain, you kind of get different glimpses into why they do what they do. we're in the media training, and one of our members, we were talking through just the talking points, you know, why is laboratory medicine important? Why has it helped quality of care? And the secretary of the board started telling this story. Just sort of, it, you know, came up about something that had happened at her lab. She worked at Emory University. And I can't do it justice, so I won't try. But it was this very emotional story of how an older gentleman had been coming into the lab. You know, he had a chronic illness. And someone in the lab had caught that something was slightly off with his test results. And so the lab actually reached out to his physician and said, something seems wrong. They were able to catch that something had gone wrong with his illness and that he was able to get treatment much faster than he would have been able to if they hadn't been paying such close attention. She told the story in the room, and I had goosebumps. I was tearing up. It was so emotional. And it was, I had never heard our members talk about what they do in that way before, in that very emotional way. And so I said to the rest of the room, I said, you know, do you guys all have stories like this? I've never heard you talk this way. And they all said yes. And so I thought, well, we gotta do something with this. So at our annual meeting this past July, we videotaped. I selected folks who I thought would have stories. We actually worked with them a few times before filming, and then, of course, filmed several times to get these stories. But the idea is to get this emotional connection of why laboratorians are really affecting patient care. And, you know, they've been very successful so far. So my hope is to have, you know, to bring it full circle and have patients start filming patients telling their own labor stories of how, you know, laboratory medicine helped with their care.
Molly, how long have you been at AACC?
5 years.
And through those 5 years, do you feel like the way that AACC has used member voices has evolved?
Yeah, I would say so. In 2014, we relaunched our magazine, Clinical Laboratory News. And at that time, we really looked at, you know, the storytelling that we were doing within the magazine and tried to, you know, bring it more into the 21st century. You know, it had always been excellent, but to really kind of use our members in an even more positive way. We launched the member platform, The Artery, also in 2014. We actually also did a brand refresh in 2014 that we really kind of figured out what our message was.
Okay, so AACC is obviously doing this very well. So we wanted to ask you one final question, which is, for an association that wants to do more to incorporate members in their content, what one piece of advice would you give them to kind of dip their toe in the water?
I would really reach out to the members. I mean, I think we've found these things that are working for us because we have listened to our members, and not just listened to them, but kind of tried to get them to think about things a little bit differently than they have thought about them in the past. And again, in the case of scientists, maybe not their natural way of thinking about how they approach their work. So, for example, 1 year right after I started actually at AACC, we have this thing, it's called Lab Week, which is once a year for 1 week, laboratories are celebrated across the hospitals or institutions where they work. And so we always do at AACC a big, you know, big celebration for that. And so the first year I started there, we actually did a poll to our members and just asked them why they became laboratorians, what drew them to it. And I was really struck, and again, I was very new to AACC at the time, by the fact that I'd say 95% or more said because they really wanted to impact patient care, that they really cared about the patients and, you know, getting them the best quality they possibly could. And that's so simple. But for AACC, it was the first time we'd really heard that from our members. And that finding, which was, you know, from 4 years ago, really kind of impacted the way we started looking at things. And we really started to, you know, think about asking our members questions about, again, this kind of emotional impact, like why they do what they do, because they all feel, I mean, the vast majority, very strongly and very deeply about really helping other people. And that's something that anyone can relate to. And I think it's something that's been really helpful to us as we think about telling their stories.
Even if you don't have medical pros in your audience, listening to your members can reshape how you approach content, and adding their voices can boost your own credibility and authenticity. Start by looking at your current content program. Are you using members as sources in your stories? That's a great start, but you can take it to the next level by using members to actually tell their own stories in videos, in first-person columns or blogs, on social media, or in any form of content you can dream up. Establish clear guidelines up front to make it easy for everyone involved. If you're reaching out to ask someone for an interview, let them know how long it'll take and when it's convenient for them to talk. If you want them to write something, let them know how your team can help with research or editing or even with a little helpful ghostwriting. But most important, let them know what they can get out of it, a forum and a chance to share valuable perspective with peers who share their interest and can truly appreciate their expertise. It's time for my favorite exercise, I Like, I Wish. I like that associations like AACC put their members front and center as the stars of the show. I wish that more associations followed this model rather than producing self-promotional materials that clearly focus on their own priorities rather than member priorities. Oh, and by the way, there's really no reason that these two things shouldn't be the same. The best associations, in my experience, run right in line with what their members have in mind. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Be sure to subscribe to Association Nation on iTunes or Google Play for future episodes, and get more content smarts at imaginepub.com.